Christ is risen.
Christos
Voskresi. Christos Anasti. Christo Amafufuka. Christu Numariuku. Do you know why we read Luke today? We're reading John during the Paschal period. We started with John, the very first prologue of John in the first chapter for Pascha. Then we kept reading John, but now we are interrupting our reading and reading from Luke. Does anybody know why? What's the text of this gospel? It's about the resurrection, right? It's about the road to Emmaus. It's my favorite resurrection gospel. It's got real stiff competition about the catching of the fish. But this gospel, for a particular reason, is my favorite. And it's read, I don't know why it's exactly read on Tuesday, particularly, but the reason why it's read during this period of time is because it's one of the resurrectional gospels. And there are 11 resurrectional gospels that we rotate throughout the year, every Sunday. But there are not 11 weeks in the Paschal period. We want to read all of the resurrectional gospels. So we got to stuff them in various places besides the Sundays. So that's why this is one of the times that this gospel, that a resurrectional gospel is read during Bright Week, always on Bright Tuesday. We read about the road to Emmaus. I'll tell you why it's my favorite gospel, my favorite resurrectional gospel. Because there are people that are completely crushed by life's events. Crushed so much that when they relate to this stranger that's walking among them, that they don't recognize, they say, there were certain among us that went to the tomb and we found it empty, just as they said, the women had said, but him we did not see. They still couldn't believe. They were so crushed by the events of the past few days and the past week. Because their Messiah was dead. To them, he was a dead man. And they were walking to Emmaus on some errand, and Jesus draws near to them. Now, it says their eyes were holden, or held, so that they could not see him. What does that mean? We don't really know. It could mean two things in my mind. One is that their sorrow was so great that they could not believe that Jesus was alive. Therefore, even though he appeared to them in the flesh, without further prompting, they couldn't believe that it was him. They didn't see that it was him. Of course, if he had gone, it's me, behold and see my hand, see my side, then they would have believed and such. But he didn't say anything. He just drew near to them and they didn't recognize him. So that's one possibility. Pretty outrageous that a person would literally not recognize someone they've been with for 3 years. But sorrow does crazy things to people. Despondency does crazy things to people. Makes them crazy. So that's one possibility. The other possibility is the Lord purposefully made it so that they could not recognize him. How he chose to do that, I don't know. He can do it any way he wishes. And the reason for both of these things, I think, or not the reason, but a result, is that now these are men that don't believe that their Messiah is alive, walking with someone that is opening to them the scriptures about the Messiah. And they're beginning to believe. And their heart is burning within them. Does your heart ever burn? My heart burns. I think a burning heart is really a heart that is in between. Right? A heart that is feeling pain and sorrow, but also belief. And the belief is pushing out the sorrow. Yesterday I talked about corruption and incorruption and how the Paschal hymns really talk about incorruption. And I made an example that when we have something corrupt and add it to something good, we don't want to have anything to do with it. And yet, that's not what's happening in us. What's happening in us is there are corruption, and the incorruption is pushing corruption out. Now, have you ever seen it that you can take corrupt food, rotten eggs, and add them to good eggs, and the good eggs and the rotten eggs become good? It never happens. It just doesn't. You can't take bad meat and add it to good meat, and the bad meat is made good. That never happens. Always corruption engulfs things that are incorrupt. But in Christianity, it's the opposite. In Christianity, we are corrupt, and yet Jesus Christ is slowly filling us with incorruption. But it's a process that involves a great deal of time and pain. So it involves a burning heart, unbelieving men, speaking to their Savior and not recognizing Him, but having some burning in their heart, some hope in their heart. They hadn't given up belief entirely, but they were believing against disbelief. They were like the man who had the demoniac boy. I believe, help my unbelief. And their heart was burning. I have that burning all the time. I'm about to have it tomorrow because I'm going to go to see a man. He lost his mama. He's been in prison for a few years. And a couple years ago, he lost his son in a tragic accident that involved also criminality. I met him because of his grieving over his son. And we prayed for his son and together, and I pray for his son every day. And he has come to an understanding of what happened. Not in terms of how it happened and why it happened, because that's impossible to understand. If I gave you all the details of this, you would be aghast that people could act like this and that our justice system could be so indifferent about it. But his boy is dead, and he prays for his boy, and he waits for the time when he will be with his boy again. But he wanted to be with his mama, who was sick. She was just too sick and too old. And so she died last week, and he's not doing particularly fantastic. And I wasn't going to travel this week to give myself sort of a little bit of downtime, just celebrate the liturgies. But instead, tomorrow I'm going to celebrate liturgy at 6 a.m., and then I'm going to drive down to that unit and see him and pray with him and pray for his mama and kind of see that he's kind of try to make sure that he's doing okay. Sorrow can make a man crazy. And environments like prison, sorrow is just, it's not a good thing to have because stuff can happen. But his heart's burning right now. My heart's burning for him. I would like to remove his pain somehow, but I don't really have the right surgical instrument to get into his heart and to take out the pain. Such an instrument doesn't exist. The great physician has those instruments, and he's not given them to us because we wouldn't know how to use them anyway. So the resurrection is happening for him and for me and for you, but our hearts are also burning. That's what happened on the road to Emmaus. I've imagined this road many times. I don't mean the contours of it and how it looks and etc. I don't care about any of those details. But how they felt as he was opening to them the scriptures, and how there was this hope that was coming up within them, and they didn't even understand it per se, but it was a certain attraction to hearing this man speak. And a certain consolation they were receiving from him. But there was also pain because their heart was burning. Now, he opened to them the scriptures. This is one of the greatest indictments, in my opinion, against the so-called sola scriptura line of thought. People who think they can open the Bible and decide what it says and therefore form umpteen thousands of denominations that say it says this or it says that, etc., etc., because they can read it with their mind and with their intellect and they can decide what the words mean. The Lord interpreted the words for them. He interpreted these words, giving them to Luke and Cleopas. Luke doesn't mention himself here, but it's clear that it's him. First of all, it's his gospel. Second of all, this account is so intimate that it has to be him. It's just impossible that it couldn't be. And of course, our tradition knows that it was him, Luke and Cleopas on the road, disciples of the 70, apostles of the 70. And of course, they told everybody. And all this news about the things that were in the scriptures that are about Jesus Christ was revealed to them. Things that are not immediately obvious. If you have your intellect and you read some part of scripture, like you read about the unquarried mountain, is that obvious that that's about the Theotokos? okay, you can see the metaphor, a mountain that has not been quarried, a virgin who has not known a man who's had a child. You can see it metaphorically, but how would you know such a thing? Except that the Lord revealed it to them. The Holy Spirit reveals it to them. All these things were revealed. And they're part of our deposit of our faith. That's why we know so many things from the Old Testament that point to Jesus Christ, that are not immediately obvious. If you didn't have the interpretation of the church, you wouldn't necessarily think that this and this and this point to Christ. Basically, you can pretty safely say that every page of the Old Testament is about Jesus Christ. Everything. But it's sometimes hidden to our eyes exactly how that is. We have to have the interpretation of the church to teach us. So here is Jesus Christ talking to the church, right? Because these men are part of the church. They will become bishops, apostles of the 70. They will transmit this information to the other apostles. It's been transmitted to us. That's why we understand it. And their hearts were burning within them. It really resonates with me, because my heart burns all the time. I don't understand things all the time, and things are hard to deal with all the time. It's not easy to go down to somebody who's lost his mama and try to give him words of consolation. I have no idea how I'm going to do it, but it's going to get done tomorrow somehow. Now, when they sat down to eat, we see something else that the church knows to be true. A lot of people don't believe it. I don't know why, because their intellect can't comprehend it. Well, my intellect can't either, and neither can yours. How in the world can bread and wine become the body and blood of Jesus Christ? It looks like bread and wine, it tastes like bread and wine, and yet it's the body and blood of Christ. How does this happen? We have no idea whatsoever, but it does. So Jesus Christ sat down at them with table, because it was at the end of the day, and he looks like he's going to go on, and they say, stay with us. Of course he does. He breaks the bread, and then they know him. And the bread, of course, is his body and blood. And then he vanishes from their sight. So what do? They get up and they run back to Jerusalem. They've just been walking all day long. And they run back so that they can still, in the evening, report this great message to the apostles. It's a beautiful story. And it's a story, I think, that is your story, too. Because you should put yourself in the place of Luke and Cleopas. You could say, what are the things that I don't believe in or that I struggle with? Perhaps it's a sin that you just haven't overcome. Perhaps it's just some feeling of angst about something that has been with you your entire life. Perhaps it is a great loss that you've endured or losses. Perhaps it's that maybe you felt that you've never really fit in. All my life, I've never felt like I fit in until I came to the church. It's the only thing that's ever fit me, is the church. Whatever it is for you, you're on that road. And the Lord is talking to you, and you don't recognize him completely. We don't see him exactly as he is. We don't see him as he is on Mount Tabor. We only see him partially, sort of in a mirror, and through a glass, darkly we see him. But he's here. And he's telling you stuff. And you're getting enlightened slowly, a little bit at a time. What a beautiful thing. But a hard thing. I suppose if we were to write the gospel story the way we wanted it, there wouldn't have been these things. But that's not really, it's just not possible. Because of the fall. Because that fall from God, that fall from knowing God, is a painful split, and we cannot get back to it. We cannot get back to knowing God without a lot of labor. It's just the nature of things. So I think that's why Jesus didn't let them know who he was. He wanted them to go through that work, that pain, that burning, so that the words would be seared into their hearts, so that they would then transmit them to the apostles and then on to us. I think that's what happened. That's why. It's a glorious and a beautiful story. Christ is risen. Christos Anesti. Christunu Mariuku. Christo amafufuka. El Masiacham. Christos andia. Christos voskresi. God bless you.